Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. We have had Major Garrett on this show, and of course he was with Fox News at one point, and now is with the National Journal, and that is one of the best places you can go for political news. Very happy to welcome in Josh Krauschar from National Journal. Hello, Josh. How are you?
Hey, Jack. Good to be on the show.
Well, I was watching last night and saw the discussion you had with Reed Wilson about the Tea Party and what that means for the political future here, particularly in 2012. Can you fill our listeners in?
Yeah, well, I mean, Jack, with the energy on the right and among disaffected independent voters is as high as we've seen in quite some time. I mean, the economic anxiety is through the roof. Voters are dissatisfied with the way Congress is conducting business. And that's showing itself out in incredible energy in these Republican primaries, and incredible energy particularly among outsider candidates, folks who have not been a part of the political process, who in many cases have decided to run for the Senate, for the House, for the governorships, and have shown that the results have shown they've done extremely, extremely well. And they've this energy is it's cascading to a point where in November I think we're going to have a very historic election where you're going to see a lot of these voters showing up at the polls in high numbers looking to oust their elected representatives and elected governors. So this is a very historic moment we're facing politically, and I think this November election is going to be quite historic in its implications.
We have seen some numbers as to how many people consider themselves to be Republicans, Independents, Democrats, and those numbers haven't shifted that much. But the people who consider themselves to be Republicans or conservatives are so driven in this election that you think they're camped out at the polling place right now, and it doesn't seem as if the Democrats can mobilize their base to walk across the street.
Yeah, you have a tale of two parties. You have folks who voted for Obama who are liberal Democrats who were excited as they've ever been in 2008 when President Obama was on the ballot, and now they're apathetic. They even the folks who were really excited and still have a lot of hope in President Obama are looking at their bank accounts, they're looking at the state of the economy, and they're looking at being burned on a lot of their core issues on health care. Even though significant health care legislation got passed, they're not satisfied. You look at financial regulatory reform and compromises had to be made, and they're not satisfied because they thought they were going to get the whole piece of the pie, not just half of it. Whereas on the Republican side, and on the conservative side in particular, you have anger. Anything the White House has had to lay their hands on, whether you're talking about the stimulus, mm-hmm. talking about TARP, whether you're talking about the most recent financial regulatory reform, they're upset, they're angry, and they're as energized as they've ever been in quite a long time. And those two factors are creating just incredible momentum for Republicans in the November midterms.
The idea, Josh, that Democrats felt they were going to get everything they wanted and this was going to be their holiday, was that unreasonable, or has the Obama administration and House and Senate leadership botched this to an unrecognizable level?
Is it unreasonable? Sure. I think expectations were too high for anyone. But if you go back to early 2009, when Al Franken was in a contested race, and mm-hmm. he was the 60th Democratic vote, there was a sense that from the White House on down, from White House, liberal activists, all the groups invested in this administration, that this was a unique historic opportunity. The talk in the White House was, this is a transformational moment. We can pass consequential health care legislation. We can get significant pieces of legislation accomplished, and we won't be able to do that at any other time. This is the biggest majority for the Democrats in quite a long time in Congress and with a Democratic president. Reality soon has hit a wall, and I think a lot of the hubris we saw early on has awakened to the political reality that this is a center-right country, and Republicans have organized, the conservative base has been energized, and now we're facing the possibility that Republicans could again take a solid majority in the House, and the Senate is up for grabs, which is something we never even considered a few months ago. So this is a real wake-up call for the White House. You're seeing that some people in the White House think it was a problems with messaging. Some think it was they went too far to the left. Some people don't think they handled the base well enough. But ultimately, this is a rejection of of both the policies that the White House have advanced and also the fact that the economy is still in going backwards at a time when the White House over the summer was saying this is going to be the recovery summer. This is the stimulus was going to help lead to a period of growth, and those promises have seemed hollow.
Josh Krauschar of National Journal, our guest on Ebling and You. You can go to nationaljournal.com, check out the hotline, and you'll see videos and columns, and Josh's column here talking about the state of Ohio and how that impacts and maybe the entire Midwest here is very, very interesting. Maybe I was watching too much football, Josh, but at some point, a simple majority became insufficient to govern. And you needed 60, and you needed a solid 60. You couldn't have Blanche Lincoln crossing over or anyone else. Is that the way the government is meant to run now?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because long ago there was a lot more diversity within the parties. So on the Democratic side, you had a conservative wing, you had Southern Democrats, you had folks that internally had incentive to compromise. So when the bills came to the floor, they were already, game to kill the Republican voters. And then likewise, you had a Rockefeller wing of the Republican Party that was, then there was a lot of Republican members in the House as recently as 2006 in the Northeast who were from the moderate, pragmatic side of the party. That's almost extinct now. There's still a handful left, but you don't have many liberal Republicans. So when you talk about consequential legislation, it's very polarized. You see very few Republicans willing to cross the aisle, and when Bush was president, didn't see many Democrats to show their bipartisan bona fides either. When you add cable TV and instant blogging and social media to the mix, it's all creating this very polarized environment where less legislation can get accomplished. And 60 is almost the new 50. It'll be interesting if Republicans take back the House or the Senate. Will there be a motivation to compromise because both parties have a stake in the game, mm-hmm. or will we still see even more polarization heading into the 2012 election?
You know, we talked with former Michigan Governor William Milliken, the longest-serving Michigan governor, and we asked him how he would have governed in these polarized times, and he said, he wouldn't be elected. So I guess that happens when you have a moderate or a liberal Republicans are now an oxymoron. Josh, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Great stuff. NationalJournal.com, the place to go, and maybe we'll talk to you again before the election.
Terrific. Thanks for having me on.